God is good. And all the time. Mungu ni mwema. That's a brand new language from the Tower of Babel. Okay. How are you? Have you had a good day so far? You know, there was a sin I committed. I forgot to tell you about it. Somebody said, uh-oh. Someone gave me, a very lovely young lady, a little package of information. And in that packet was a card from somebody. And the card had some very lovely words to me. I got one yesterday which said, Elder Skeet, we love you, even though you sin all the time. And so I just wanted to say thanks to whomever wrote that very lovely card. And you should never forget to say thanks. So I really appreciated the card. I got two of them. Don't remember what the first one said. I can perhaps read it, bring it tomorrow. So thank you very much for that. When I came down to tonight's meeting, I realized I didn't have my badge. And I thought if I walked back, I would be late and I'd have to do push-ups. So I decided to stay and not be late. So please forgive me again. I know you're getting exhausted forgiving me all the time. But the Bible says 70 times 7 in a day. How many times have I sinned so far this week? Only 9? Okay, well, I have a lot more to go. So thanks for your kindness. Is anyone joining us today for the first time? Anyone, anyone, anyone? You haven't been here all week. Anybody? Nope. So we have the regulars with us today. Okay. Go with me to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis 1. I have my watch with me, so I'll be my own timekeeper. Where's Sister Natalie, I think it is, my timekeeper this morning, wherever she is. God bless her. There she is. Genesis 1, reading from verse 1, the Bible says, God created. Verse 2. And the moved upon. We all know verse 3. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Keep reading. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Now, I told you, I believe it was in the morning session, that when God made the universe, he made the natural world with spiritual lessons built into it. Child Guidance, page 45, paragraph 3, Ellen White writes, the whole natural world is designed to be an interpreter of the things of God. And on the very next page, 46, paragraph 3, in the natural world, God has placed in the hands of the children of men the key to unlock the treasure house of his word. The unseen is illustrated by the seen. Divine wisdom, eternal truth, infinite grace are understood by the things that God has made. So one of the things you need to do when studying the Bible is look for lessons from nature that will help to clarify what is hidden in the Bible. Now, look at verse 4 again of Genesis 1. Because my presentation today is extremely serious. They all are, but this one particularly so, because it is seldom talked about in Seventh-day Adventist churches. And this has led to many, many problems. Verse 4 says, and God did what? Saw the light, that it was good. What was the next thing God did? God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light, and the darkness he called. Now, this is God creating something physical. Light is physical. You may not think it is, but it is. We have in that physical creation an act of God. What is that act? He separated the light from the darkness. What is God saying? What was he saying by that act? Well, there's a day and a night. Yes, yes, yes. What else was he saying at a spiritual level? There's good and evil, yes. What else is he saying at a spiritual level? Look at the action God carried out. Darkness and light, finish it, should not interact. They should not have fellowship one with the other. In other words, from Genesis chapter 1, the Bible teaches us that we serve a God who keeps darkness away from light. We serve a God who wants his people to recognize that in all they do, there should be a difference between darkness and light. Are you with me? This is very serious when you realize where I'm going with this. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and let us see the spiritual application of this principle that we read about in Genesis chapter 1 verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 14, it is a very familiar passage. Do you have that? Let's read together. And be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now pause. What is an unbeliever? Or who is an unbeliever? Say that loudly. All right, one that does not believe in Jesus. Okay, let me put it this way. To a Mormon, is a Jehovah's Witness an unbeliever? Yes. But does a Jehovah's Witness go to church? Do they believe in God, some kind of God? Yes. To a Jehovah's Witness, is an Adventist an unbeliever? Yes. So going to church does not make you a believer. Listen to the words again. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What do you think that means? Do not yoke yourself with someone of a different religion. Thank you. I was waiting. Thought I'd have to wait all night. I didn't hear any amens from this side. And these are my brothers. Not only in marriage, but in business. Oh, okay. Any relationship that requires trust and a certain spirit to function, that should be light and light. You don't like what I'm saying?
Yes, we do.
Oh, you do? Oh, good, 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 good. All right, okay. I repent of my sins. Okay. Let's keep reading 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. It says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what? Fellowship hath with unrighteousness. And what communion hath light with darkness? What is the answer? None. Blessing upon that sister. None. Not some. Not on weekends. None. Spell none. No. This none is so intense. How do you spell it? Capital N, capital O, capital N, capital E. And what does it spell? None. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
All right. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? None. Absolutely none. Now, should we be in the world doing God's work? Yes or no? Yes. Mm-hmm. That's not what the text is talking about. The text is referring to relationships, contacts, associations that are prolonged. Should not happen. So if you're a Catholic, marry a Catholic. All Catholics, raise your hands. If you're Baptist, finish it for me. Marry a Baptist. If you're Satanist, yeah. And if you're an Adventist, come on, too weak. If you're an Adventist, It's not funny, but let me give you some counsel from Ellen White. Letters to Young Lovers, page 83, paragraph 1. You ever heard of that book? Those of you 17, 16, 18, on the edge of this sort of thing, read that book. Ellen White writes to this young lady, I think her name was Rose. I have heard that you are intending to marry a man who is not a believer. She heard it. She was in somewhere in Europe. I am unable to write you a long letter, but I will say, if you take this step, you depart from the plainest injunction of Scripture and cannot expect or claim God's blessing on such a union. Then if God is not involved, who is? Oh, yes. Now, you may say this man is a hard man. If God is not involved, the enemy is. Listen to the words of God's prophetess. You cannot expect or claim God's blessing on such a union. Makes no difference how good of a Lutheran she is. And I've run into so many Adventist young people, their argument is, but he is such a nice Baptist. He is more faithful than Adventist. I don't care. Now, what is an unbeliever? Ellen White defines it, same book, Letters to Young Lovers, page 87, paragraph 3. She said, though the companion of your choice were in all other respects worthy, which he is not, yet he has not accepted the truth for this time. He is an unbeliever. So to the mind of a Seventh-day Adventist, what is an unbeliever? Someone who does not accept what? Present truth. What is present truth? Truth what? Well, yeah. That's a very slick answer. You're correct. But let's be more precise. Give me examples of truth for our time. The three angels' message, that's broad. Let's be more precise. The Sabbath, what else? Okay, state of the dead, all right. The great controversy between Christ and Satan, okay. The what? The health message, anything else? All right, Christ will come a second. Okay, all right, all right. The what? Okay, the law of God and Christ in the law, the humanity of Christ, the divinity of Christ, the possibility of victory over sin. Yes, sister. The sanctuary message, which is also broad. Like, all of that is present truth. Ellen White defines an unbeliever as someone who does not believe present truth. I was in New York preaching a few years ago. This young lady came to me. She said, Pastor, pray for my boyfriend. So I said, why? He won't come to church. So I said, why won't a nice young man, vegetarian, not come to church? She put down her head and smiled. What do you think she was about to tell me? He is not a Seventh-day Adventist. He may have been a vegetarian. He may have grown up on grass and sand, but he was not a Seventh-day Adventist. Are you with me? So I said, when I said that, she said, he's not an Adventist. I said, wait a minute. Tell me what you want me to pray and tell God. Well, pray he'll come to church. I said, no, I'm not praying that. Here's what I'll pray for, if you still want it. I will pray that you will have the courage to go to him and tell him you are sorry for misleading him into thinking that the church tolerates your behavior. You will go to him and apologize to him for misleading him, and then you will break it off and let God find another way to save him, because the Bible does not support boyfriend evangelism. Come on, somebody say amen. She put down her head and she walked away. I was in a certain country preaching, conducting an evangelistic series. This man came to me. I was doing some one-on-one counseling, 9 and 12 in the day, preaching at night. He said, pray for me. I said, why? Well, I'm contemplating marriage. This is a grown man. Really? Who's the lady? Oh, nice lady in a certain city. Is she Adventist? No. I said, aren't you the head elder of the church? Yes. The head elder of the church. I said, brother, what do you want me to take to tell God? What do you want me to say to God? I said, I need to pray that you have the courage to break it off. He said, I can't break it off. Why? Whom do you love more, that woman or God? I can't break it off. I said, well, I can't pray the prayer you want me to pray. I'll pray a general prayer, and that's it. And he left. Would not break it off. Let me give you another quotation that's most frightening of all. Adventist Home, page 67, paragraph 1. Write this down. Check it when you get to your rooms. Adventist Home, what page? What paragraph? Listen to these words. If you think you'll sleep, listen while stand while I say it. But stay alert. No, it's okay. If you think you'll fall asleep, stand up. Here's a quotation. To connect yourself with an unbeliever is to place yourself on Satan's ground. You grieve the Spirit of God and forfeit his protection. What does that mean, forfeit his protection? You give it up. Now, if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, who can finish it? He's none of his. Let me say it again for those of you who are in a daze. To connect with an unbeliever. Who is an unbeliever? Someone who does not believe what Adventists believe, particularly present truth. To connect with an unbeliever is to place yourself on Satan's ground. You grieve the Spirit of God and forfeit his protection. Then she closes this way. Can you afford to have such terrible odds against you in fighting the battle for everlasting life? Let me be even more bold and nosy. Any one of you connected to non-Adventist right now romantically, make a commitment before you leave this campsite to break it off. I won't call for show of hands, don't worry. Make a commitment before you leave this campsite to break it off. Now, what do I mean by break it off? I don't mean to go to the man or the woman and discuss it. Are you listening to me? I mean to go and announce it. You don't even have to go. Send a text. Use Facebook. But make an announcement. It's not a discussion. It is an announcement. Listen, whatever his name is, Jack, or her name is Jill, I realized that I was wrong. It was brought to my attention and to my conscience. And when it comes to conscience, I put God first. I am sorry. I was wrong. Forgive me. I am declaring an end. No discussion. A declaration. Declaration of Independence was not a discussion with Britain. Are you with me? It was a declaration. We're gone. That's what you need to do. Make up your mind tonight to do that. I cannot tell you how many times I have knelt down and prayed with women who cried and cried and cried. Let me tell you a story of a friend of mine. I hope she never hears this recording. Is this being recorded? Okay. Oh, sorry to hear that. She said, I need to talk to you. I said, fine. I was associate pastor of a little church somewhere in the country. My husband takes my son to the games on Sabbath. Is your husband Adventist? No. When you married him, were you an Adventist? Yes. So you walked into a relationship with your eyes wide open? Yes. Your husband is as much the parent of that boy as you are, and he has every right to take that little six-year-old boy to games on Saturday. She had an argument a couple of weeks later. Can I talk to you? Yes. My husband puts pork in the refrigerator. Is your husband Adventist? No. Did you know it before you married him? Yes. Your husband has every right to put a living pig in the refrigerator. And there's nothing you can do. Because he is not a Seventh-day Adventist. And you knew that going in. I was in a certain country preaching, this lady crying on her knees, crying, crying. She'd been married almost 30 years. She knew the man was not an Adventist. She did it because society said, get married, you're 26, you're getting too old. We bow to pressure. The only pressure we should bow to is the pressure of love for God. And she was crying and crying because the man never came to Christ and was dying of cancer. And she said, I know I was wrong. I know I was wrong. Let me tell you something. The beauty of being your age. You at this age can make intelligent decisions that bless you for the rest of your life. Are you with me? Intelligent decisions that bless you for the rest. A lot of people suffer very miserable lives because of stupid decisions they made. Abraham was one. What was the stupid decision he made? And not that one. Hagar. It created problems for the rest of his life. Adam suffered for 900 years because everyone knew he was the one who caused the problem. Lot, Genesis 13, made a bad decision. He chose badly. In verse 19, his sons are destroyed, his sons-in-law, his married daughters are destroyed, meaning his grandchildren were destroyed, his wife was destroyed, his self-respect destroyed, everything destroyed. Now, he was saved, but he suffered. And between Genesis 13 and Genesis 19, quite a number of years. When we choose badly, even though we say, God forgive me, God forgives the sin, but you may have to suffer the consequence. Are you listening to me? So you decide you're bad, you're 16, you're a young man, you're tough, you want to smoke marijuana. And then you smoke one joint. Ellen White says, Child Guidance, page 200, paragraph 2, what we venture to do once, we are more apt to do again. And so you smoke it again. Now you can't stop. You go to one rehabilitation program, it doesn't work. You go to a second one, you can't hold a job. You drop out of high school, all of that because of one stupid decision. So at this stage in your life, this is the stage to make intelligent decisions. I have met so many young ladies, not yet 25, 3 children, no husband, running with the wrong crowd. Young men, fathers of one child, another child, another child, no job, no nothing. All of that you can escape by choosing righteously all the time. And my point tonight, do not be romantically involved outside of the church. Now, let me say this. I'm not saying everyone in the church is a saint, because that's not the case. You know, in John chapter 6, verse 70, Jesus said, have I not chosen you 12? One of you is a devil. There was a devil among the disciples. There will be devils in the church today. But the God who found a wife for Isaac can find a husband for you. Come on, somebody say amen. Or a wife for you, if that's the desire of your heart, and if that's God's will for you. Let me say that again. If that's God's will for you, first things first, and the desire of your heart. You know, here's an observation I've made. There's some things we pray about and other things we take for granted. Let me explain. In our society, here's the expectation. You come into this world, you go to primary school or kindergarten, then what's after kindergarten? What is it? Who?
Elementary.
Elementary, then what? Middle school, then what? High school, then what? College, then you graduate, maybe a graduate program, then you get a wife, a husband, get a job, 2.5 children, and you live the rest of your life. That's the general expectation. Get an education, get a family, get a house, you're set. Is it possible that God may say, I want you single for the kingdom? Answer me. Yes. Then we just can't assume and act. We must ask God about everything. Is it possible God may say, I want you married, but no children? Now I know you don't like me. Is it possible God may say, I want you married, you can have children, but just one? Ask God. Seek God's direction in every area of your life at every step. Who's our spiritual father? In the Bible, who's our spiritual father? Our spiritual father in the Bible. Come on, I heard his name over here. Abraham, Galatians 3:29. If ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed. Now, when Abraham wanted a wife for his son Isaac, Genesis 24, he made Eliezer, his chief servant, swear an oath not to take a wife from the Canaanites. Now, did the Canaanites have a religion? Yes. The Amorites, Canaanites, Girgashites, Jebusites, the Kenites, the Arphadites, the Zemorites, the Kadmonites, they all had religions. Abraham said, do not take a wife for my son among any of these religious groups. Go back to where I'm from. Now that's our spiritual father. That's an example for all Christian families. Do not engage in relationships outside of the church. The Bible is against it. Ellen White is against it. the church is against it. I have not read this, but I was told by a minister, maybe Elder Pruitt has, an Adventist minister is not authorized to marry an Adventist and a non-Adventist. He's not. Now, he may be able to marry a Baptist and a Lutheran because it's all the same thing. But not an Adventist and a non-Adventist. Can't do it. Of course, I know one or two who have, because we've become so slack. I want you to make a commitment tonight. Let me start with the men, or men in training. I want you to tell Jesus tonight that by his grace, if marriage becomes a reality in your life, you will marry within the church. You will never become involved outside of the church. How many of you will make that commitment? Stand up. Never do it. My sisters, how many of you will say, Father, by your grace, with your help, I will never become involved outside the church, and if I'm involved now, I will break it off. I want you to stand. What's today? July what? What year? AD. Remember, I told you that. What did I tell you? Ladies, what did I tell you? Do not get involved romantically or in business or anything outside of the truth or the church. Brothers, what did I say to you? I said the same thing. Well, tell me. Do not get involved romantically in business, any kind of association outside of the truth, the church, God's people. Because light and darkness should have no communion. Righteousness and unrighteousness should have no fellowship. There isn't an Adventist parent who would disagree with that, who believes the truth. If you are in that situation, break it off. Don't discuss it. Particularly if you're the woman, you're the girl, you're in that relationship, that man will twist your head. Don't discuss it. Just cut it off. What Jesus said, if your right hand offend you, put a band-aid. What did he say? If your right eye offend you, what did he say? Pluck it out. That's totally separating yourself. Heads bowed, eyes closed, loving Father in heaven. The message was tough but had to be spoken. Before you are your very fine, upstanding young men, young ladies. In this early stage of their lives, dear God, if they will make the right decisions, they will lead blessed lives. There is a saying, Father, that we learn from experience. Yes, but from other people's experiences. We don't have to go through the same thing. Give them divine wisdom, dear God, to choose intelligently, which is choosing according to Scripture and the guidance of Ellen White. And if any one of my sisters or brothers is presently involved in that relationship, which is satanic, I ask you to give that person courage to declare an end. Not to discuss, but to declare an end. For the person's own salvation, but more so, Lord, for your glory. Bless every young man, every young woman. Bless every family represented there, God. Keep us faithful one day at a time and save us when you come. We offer this prayer in Jesus' name. Let all God's people say, amen and amen. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a good, restful night.